Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. Oh, aren't you glad we have the freedom to worship the Lord in a public high school auditorium? Not everybody has that privilege. Of course, we believe it becomes a sanctuary for God. It's not a high school auditorium. And we pray that while once we leave, that we're leaving behind a Holy Spirit residue to kind of minister to students that'll be in these seats tomorrow and the rest of this week. So I believe that. I hope you believe that too. God is worthy of it all. Amen. For from him are all things, and to him are all things, and he deserves the glory, all of it. That's what we just sang. He deserves all the glory because he is the only one worthy of our praise. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that we exalt your name in this house, that the name of Jesus would be high and lifted up on this campus. And that you would come now. We know your word says you inhabit the praises of your people, so we know you're here with us. And direct our steps and give us ears to hear what your spirit is speaking to this church. That when we leave here, we'll know we've been in the presence of a living God. Amen. Amen. Our focus for the last several weeks has been on two things: prayer and waiting. Right? Waiting for answers to our prayers. That's what we've been talking about. And sometimes we're pleased with the answers, and other times not so much. Because the answer we got wasn't the answer we were praying for. I believe we can all relate to that experience. But I do hope that we can all come to that place in our prayer life where we can honestly say, like Jesus did in the garden, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Because remember, Jesus answers prayers according to his will, not our will. He answers in his name, not our name. He answers according to his will. And his will for you and me is always for our good. Whether we get that or understand it or not, his will for us is always for our good. So let's remember that. Even when our prayers aren't answered in the way we were hoping they would be, can we still trust that God's answer, whether it's go, remember those four terms, go, grow, slow, or even when his answer is no, can we still trust that his answer, when it finally does come, is what's best for us? Instead of wondering, but Lord, what was wrong with what I was asking for? I'll confess, I've wondered that a lot over the years. What was wrong with what I was asking for? I didn't think it was a selfish prayer. I was actually praying for someone else. It really tests your faith when you feel you're praying sincere prayers and they're not being answered in the way we were hoping they would be. Some people lose their hope. Just give up. Stop praying when they don't see any results. They think, what's the use? Nothing's changed. Don't think like that. Don't think like that. Don't stop praying. Remember, God isn't some kind of cosmic vending machine that if we just push the right buttons and make our selection and say the right prayer, that somehow God is obligated to deliver what we selected, deliver what we prayed for. That'd be really nice, wouldn't it? But we know God doesn't work that way. But don't give up praying. Don't give up praying. Jesus taught his disciples a parable in Luke's gospel in chapter 18 to show them and to show every one of us that we should always pray and not give up. It's the parable of the persistent widow and the mean judge or the unjust judge. And we're not going to look at that today, but that was one example where Jesus is saying, keep praying. Don't give up. Remember, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, keep asking. Right? The whole ask, seek, and knock. He says, keep asking. Don't stop. Don't give up. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. That takes real commitment. especially when that mountain in our way hasn't budged. Don't lose heart, Jesus tells us. Keep at it. Stay committed. Stay dedicated. Stay devoted. That's what we're going to look at today, being devoted. The title of this morning's message is Devoted to Prayer. And we got two verses in Colossians chapter 4 and a few verses from the book of Acts. So Lord, open your word up to us now. Your word is alive and it's active. And what it might have meant for us 6 months ago might mean something different today. So I just pray your anointing on your word, that it'll go out like arrows to our hearts, that it will accomplish your purposes. It doesn't come back empty. It doesn't return void. It accomplishes your purpose. So let this word go out and give us ears to hear what you're speaking to us. We need to hear from heaven this morning, Lord. So speak, for your servants are listening. Okay, devoted to prayer. Before we can say that we're really devoted to something or someone, we need to have a very clear definition of what that word devoted really means. This is what I found. Devoted, being focused or dedicated exclusively, that's a key word, exclusively to a purpose or cause. And I think we could also add or person in that definition. Devoted is being focused or dedicated exclusively to a purpose or cause or to a person. And now that we know what the word means, how many of us can honestly say we're devoted to prayer? We may be devoted to a lot of things, but is prayer one of them? We may be devoted to certain people in our lives. For instance, I better be devoted to my wife, Bobby, right, Lisa? Yeah. She's small, but she's mighty. And Bobby needs to be devoted to me, too, if our marriage is going to work out. And if we make it to February, it'll be 44 years together as husband and wife. So we must be doing a few things right, right, to be together that long. Anyway, the question today isn't about our marriage. It's are we devoted to prayer? And if not, why not? Too busy? It's a biblical command, by the way. It's not a suggestion. It's a biblical command. So let's look at what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossian church and to us in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. He writes, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about this mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains." Now, this is one of Paul's prison letters to the Colossian church. He wrote this while he was a prisoner in Rome. And notice, he's not asking the Colossians to pray for his release. He's not asking them to help get him out of there. Man, if it was me, I'd be saying, hey, pray I get out of this place. He's wanting these people to pray for God to give him more opportunities in prison to share the gospel. What a guy. But let's focus on verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Devote yourselves to prayer. One translation reads, continue steadfastly in prayer. That means ongoing prayer, not just emergency-only kind of prayer. Because we can get real devoted to prayer when we're in a crisis, can't we? Well, that'll intensify your prayer life. You know, we just, the other week, observed the 20th anniversary of that radical Islamic terrorist attack on our nation on 9/11. Right after that tragedy, the churches were packed. People became devoted to prayer and were seeking God for answers. People were scared. They didn't know what was coming next. But then sadly, over time, people weren't as devoted to prayer and coming together to seek God as they were on September the 12th, 20 years ago. It happens. Right? Our prayer life can really intensify when we're facing a crisis or we have a huge obstacle in our path. But then when we can finally breathe again and things ease up, our commitment to steady prayer might ease up as well. At least that's been my personal experience. Maybe you can relate to that, maybe not. But to be truly devoted to prayer means a continuing, steadfast commitment. So let's look at a few more scriptures that mention being devoted to prayer. In the book of Acts, right after the resurrected Jesus ascended back into heaven, the apostles returned to Jerusalem, and it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they all met together, and they were with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer. In the next chapter, chapter 2, verse 42, it reads, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to what? To prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. One more, Acts 6, verse 4. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And these two aren't on the screen, but in Romans 12, verse 12, it reads, rejoice in hope, persevere in tribulation, and be devoted to prayer. And the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6, verse 18, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. Pray at all times. That's being devoted. All right, back to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul writes, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind. All right? Keeping alert means staying focused and working against distractions and hindrance, staying awake, staying alert. How many know that prayers work? Yeah. Real serious prayer is work. It takes commitment and dedication. It takes effort. It should be easier, right? Praying? It should be easier, but my experience is it's not. It's a struggle to keep praying, to be devoted to prayer when things aren't falling into place. That's work. That's a struggle. In fact, this is not on a screen, but a few verses later in chapter 4 of Colossians, in verse 12, Paul tells his readers that a guy named Epaphras, I guess is how you say it, who is another servant of Christ, sends his greetings. And then he says he is always struggling for you in his prayers. One translation reads, he is always wrestling in prayer for you. So prayer is work. Prayer is a struggle, but it's worth it. That's why we need to have an alert mind. If we're going to be able to be devoted to prayer, we need an alert mind. Do you remember Jesus' instructions to his three closest disciples when they were in the garden just before he got arrested? What did Jesus tell them guys to do? It's from Matthew 26, 41. He says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, the flesh is oh so weak at times, isn't it? Man. And Jesus knew his disciples really well. That's why he told them, watch, you guys, stay awake. Be alert. Watch and pray. Be alert and pray so you don't fall into temptation. And his disciples fell asleep in the garden three times. How discouraging that must have been. When he needed them the most, when he needed them to be alert and pray, they fell asleep. Three times. He knew them well. And he knows us well, too. And he knows how weak our flesh is at times. But hey, that's not an excuse. I'm not making excuses. That shows us how serious we need to take this command to be devoted to prayer with an alert mind. The Apostle Peter, he tells us in 1 Peter 5:8 to be sober-minded and alert. Jesus tells us in Mark 13, since we don't know when he'll return, to stay alert and keep watch. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16, to be on the alert and stand firm in the faith. Acts 20, verse 31 tells us to be alert. Ephesians 6, 18, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Jesus warns us in Luke 21, watch out. Keep alert at all times. So we can go on and on about the importance of being alert. But not just physically alert. We need to be physically alert, but we need to be spiritually alert too. We need an alert mind in the natural world as well as an alert mind in the spirit realm. Spiritual alertness and devotion to prayer is a powerful combination. So what exactly does it mean to be spiritually alert in a lifestyle of continually steadfast prayer? Well, maybe we should think about what it's not, what the opposite of that might look like. Because a person can be devoted to prayer, but at the same time be spiritually asleep. They could be praying, but just, it's a routine, it's a ritual. They have no clue about what's going on in the spirit world. And that could make their prayer life just that, just a ritual. It's just an obligation to fulfill. And it can turn into a legalistic religious exercise without any passion, without any spiritual devotion. So maybe having an alert mind and being watchful and devoted to prayer doesn't just mean to guard against a mechanical method approach to prayer, where it can just become a regular ritual, but maybe it also means being tuned in, focused spiritually to what God is wanting to do in us and through us and around us. So then we can be praying in light of His power and His priorities, His purposes, and His promises revealed in His Word. I hope that makes sense. Between the difference between being spiritually awake and spiritually asleep. I'll give you an example I read the other day. A spiritually asleep person might pray like this: Lord, please help me not get sick, or Lord, help me recover quickly if I do get sick. I pray like that sometimes. Don't you? I mean, don't all of us? That's what's in our hearts. That's what I was praying for Mikey's back yesterday. Don't let us get sick, Lord, but if we do, help us recover quickly. Now, there's nothing wrong with that prayer, but a mature, spiritually alert person might pray that, but also may pray something like this: help me, Lord, in my sickness to honor You. Help me to depend on You and trust You while I'm sick, Lord. Use my illness to grow me and to show others Your grace and Your kindness and love and just how great You are. See, the spiritually asleep person is only praying for their own personal advancement, but the spiritually alert person is also praying for the advancement of God's kingdom first. Right? You see the difference? It's let Your kingdom come, let Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let Your will be done while I'm sick, or if I'm sick. I don't want to be sick, but if I am, let Your kingdom come. It's the advancement of the kingdom of heaven on earth has to be a priority in our prayer life. And having an alert mind and being spiritually alert may also be connected to how God answers our prayers. Are we being alert and watchful not only if God is answering our prayers, but also how is He answering our prayers? Who's He using to answer our prayer? And why would He use that person? You know, being alert to that kind of stuff helps. That's something we should be praying for. God, help us to be alert and watchful in our prayers. We don't want to miss what You're doing and how You're doing it. Scripture says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. So let's not leave the thankful part out. We need to be thankful people instead of complaining people. The Apostle Paul reminds us over and over and over about being thankful. Earlier in his letter to the Colossians, in chapter 1, in verse 3, he writes, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." He's combining prayer with thankfulness. In chapter 2, in verse 8, he writes, "Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all He has done." In chapter 3, verse 15, Paul says, "Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are all called to live in peace and always be thankful." In verse 17 of that same chapter, he adds, "And whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus, all the while giving thanks through Him to God the Father." Paul told the Romans in Romans 1, verse 8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you." He told the Thessalonians, "We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly." He told Philemon, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers." Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart, Paul says. Why is thankfulness in our prayer life so important? Because it gives us a balance. If our prayer life is heavy on requests and very light on gratitude, we're going to be spiritually out of balance. And that's a selfish way to pray. just ask, and ask, but not be grateful. We're to give thanks in all circumstances, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, because that is God's will for us who are in Christ. Give thanks in all circumstances, because that's God's will. Not necessarily give thanks for the circumstance, because some circumstances are awful, but to give thanks in the circumstance, because our faith and trust is in Christ regardless of whatever circumstance we're in. Now, I know that's easier said than done, but it's God's will for us. And God's word to us this morning is calling every one of us to devote ourselves to prayer, but to do it with an alert mind and a thankful heart. That's continual, watchful, and thankful prayer. That's not three different things. That's one thing. That's one lifestyle of prayer. It's a lifestyle. We all pray. At least I hope we all pray. If you don't pray, please start praying. Start by thanking Him for how good He is. But is this the way we pray? Continual, watchful, thankful? Now, a lot of you know who Corrie Ten Boom is. Corrie Ten Boom asked this question, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Meaning, is prayer just for an emergency or is it a vital part? Is it a guiding part of our everyday life? A guiding part of our everyday spiritual journey? Is my life, is your life marked by the kind of continual, watchful, and thankful prayer that Paul is talking about? See, if we struggle to have this kind of prayer life, maybe it's because we delight in and we depend on many other things more than we delight in and depend on God. I'm going to repeat that. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just saying maybe if we struggle to have this kind of devoted prayer life, maybe it's because we're delighting in and we're depending on many other things more than we delight in and depend on the Lord. Are we dependent on our paycheck and our bank account and our investments and our intelligence more than we depend on God? Are we finding our delight in all the pleasures of this world, or do we find our delight in the relationship we have with Jesus? How would we describe our relationship with Jesus, the lover of our souls, the one who paid the ultimate price for our freedom? You know, somebody said, how are you and Jesus getting along? Maybe the better question would be, how would Jesus describe our relationship with Him? Is He our steering wheel? Or is He just a spare tire? Do we have continual dialogue and fellowship with Him? Or do we just get in touch with Him when we really need something? Are we devoted to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart? I don't know about you, but I've got a ways to go before I can say that. Just being honest with you. Some of you also know who Oswald Chambers is. He's a Scottish Baptist evangelist, teacher, and author. Maybe you have the book, My Utmost for His Highest. That's one of his books that we have. Anyway, on the subject of prayer, Oswald Chambers said, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Amen? Prayer is the greater work. And it is work. So I hope we'll all ask the Lord to help us be a people who have first a passion for Him. Passion for His name. We talked about the power in His name. And we would have a passion for Him and His name, a passion for His word, and we would have a passion for prayer so that we too can be devoted to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able for closing prayer, and done praying, you're free to go. And hope you'll be back next week. If you want prayer for anything, I'll be up here for a while. Or you can pray where you are or get with somebody. Maybe God put it on your heart to pray for somebody. Go to that person and just tell them, hey, I feel God wants me to pray for you. Let's not hinder what Holy Spirit's wanting to do here before we leave. So, Lord, thanks again for giving us clear instruction and direction in your word. Through this word to the Colossian church, we receive it this morning as a word for Joy Christian Fellowship, that we would devote ourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart, that we wouldn't be so distracted by every little thing that comes along, but that we would be grateful and not just keep asking and asking and asking for stuff, but be thankful for how blessed we already are. We all have needs. You say keep asking, so we're not going to stop asking. I'm not saying that. But let us be grateful. Let us be thankful. Let us be alert. And Lord, let us be devoted to you, to your word, to prayer. And we know you'll do amazing things if we'll follow your guidance and your direction. And I pray a special blessing over everyone here this morning, whatever their needs may be, physical, emotional, relational, financial, whatever the need is, we look to you to provide in amazing ways. And we're going to thank you for it in advance by faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.